from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll take a look at the upcoming Installation Nation show.
I'll find out about an organization that provides strong female role models for girls.
I'll find out what's coming up at the Cabaret this summer and fall, plus there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Primary Colors will again be hosting its Installation Nation 2015 edition at the Indianapolis Arts Center. You can come see 12 installation artists, two local schools, and their site-specific works. Travis DiNicola spoke with Patrick Flaherty of the Indianapolis Arts Center and with artist Andy Ball about the show.
Patrick, Andy, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, Installation Nation is always one of my favorite events each summer. Patrick, before we went on the air, you were just saying this is the sixth time for it. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. It hasn't happened necessarily consecutively, but we believe that this is the sixth incarnation of it.
It's always such a cool event, and it's gone through a lot of incarnations, whether it's been down at Lockerbie or now at the Indianapolis Arts Center. Some years it's used big shipping containers. Some years it hasn't. Give me a little overview of what the event is and what it's going to be like this year in this partnership with Primary Colors and the Arts Center.
Well, we're really excited to host it again out in the Arts Park right there on the White River and the Monon Trail and Broad Ripple at the Indianapolis Arts Center. We had a really good turnout of artists applying this year, and we were actually able to give a green light to 12 different projects. And so basically for about 2 weeks, opening on June 26th, you can come and just wander around the park and experience these installations. So they are site-specific. Some of them will, you know, deteriorate over time. Some of them will look pretty much similar the whole way through, but also new this year, which is
they're all outside.
That is correct.
So it's free to people can just come anytime they want.
You got it. And the opening itself, the big party, is all ages and free as well. So we're not gating it in any way. We really want you to get out there. And if you come to the event, you know, last year we had just shy of a couple thousand people come through. So if you want maybe spend another time where you come by the park and actually can really interact. But all the artists will be there on the 26th, which is cool. But also this year, which is really exciting, one of our committee members suggested and reached out. We actually have two school groups are doing installations as well. So we have school
this
kids.
Is totally new this year.
Yeah, brand new. So we've got kids from IPS 91 and IPS 84. The art teachers there were really got involved and behind, and they turned it open to the whole school. So those are, I believe, both K through 8 schools. My own daughter told me that she had part in one of these projects.
Cool.
So it'd be pretty cool to kind of have that next generation of artists. But yeah, there's just the 12 plus the 2 makes 14 throughout the park. It's a beautiful setting. You couldn't really get much prettier than where it's at. And the actual event itself from 6 to 10 on the 26th, there'll be food trucks. There's going to be Sun King beer. A-Squared Industries is going to be playing some great music. So it's just a great, great excuse to come on out and have a good time with some installation art.
Very cool. Now, you said that some of the work will sort of decay over time because it will be weathered because it is all outside. Some is meant for that? Is that part of it? I mean,
well, you know, there's all sorts of definitions on what an actual installation is. And, you know, a lot of times it does house inside a space or inside a gallery. And I think that's where the shipping container kind of evolved was, could you kind of drop a gallery? And whereas that was a really neat idea, it had a lot of limitations as well that they kind of discovered over the years. And so when we moved it to the park, we wanted to just go ahead and remove those walls. And so some people, you know, but we don't want just we try to find art and pick art that is somewhat experiential, that responds to the environment. So it's not installation in the terms of that, you know, it's just a big bronze figure or something like that.
It's specific to the environment it's in.
Exactly. And you know, some of them are a little bit more sculptural than others, but certainly some of them will deteriorate. We had an artist last year wonder why someone had stolen part of her exhibit, and we said, well, actually, it blew away in a storm, and we went and boxed it up for you. So, you know, it's really much in the environment.
Very cool. Now, Andy, you've been a part of this a number of years, right?
It's my third year coming up, yes.
Okay, cool. And you've done some really interesting work in the past. Last year, had just this sort of gorgeous kaleidoscope piece that was outside at the Art Center that I remember, and everyone was, like, taking selfies in it because it was
a walk-through kaleidoscope, yes.
Really cool stuff.
Thank you.
You know, and in fact, I'll say that was my favorite piece last year.
Well, thank you.
It was really cool. I still have a great picture of, you know, taking pictures of myself and friends in there, and it was a cool space within the environment. Tell us what you've got planned for this year.
Well, this year I'm doing a piece that's called Chaos Deconstructed, and it's I do a lot of metal work when I'm not doing the installation work, and so it is a metal piece. It's two metal pieces, actually, that as you walk up on them will be somewhat chaotic in the way they look, but when you get to one particular angle, they will then appear to be actual recognizable shapes.
Kind of almost looking like random shapes from different angles,
from different angles.
At the right angle, then it comes together.
Comes together. Both of them are somewhat political in nature. One I'll tell you about is, as I was going through putting this together and welding it together, we were going through the riffraff. And I decided that I wanted to do something to show my support for people of the LGBT groups. And so it's going to be somewhat in that vein. It's painted in the colors, and will hopefully come together for those that look at it and see what I'm trying to portray with it.
Now, how will people know where the right spot to stand is?
You won't. You'll have to figure it out.
Yeah? Okay.
Probably you'll see other people standing there. Actually, I've done a setup test mock-up in my basement, and you have to sit to actually see it.
So how do you go about planning for an installation piece like this for a Installation Nation Festival type of event? Do you go out to the space? Do you?
No, these were just creations in my head. One of the two I'd done a maquette for years ago that I want to make someday as a permanent installation somewhere. And when this year's announcement came out for it, I thought I could do these at this particular event, and I think it would fit. I've been to Installation Nation a number of times, not just with my own art, but to visit and see it with other people's art. So it's just one of those things that kind of comes to me. I can't explain the artist thinking in it.
Well, so once you get accepted, though, I mean, then are you assigned a space, or do you pick a space, or how does that work? Either one.
Well, all the artists make presentations, submit them in writing to the selection committee. So you are juried into it. And thank you, Patrick. It is an honor to be into it, be accepted into it. And then you tell them what you want to do, and then they accept you. And we went out on site and picked a site then that would be appropriate for it.
Yeah.
So in this case, I kind of made the site. I picked the site for the artwork.
Sure.
The first year I was in it, I did it in a container, and it was a kaleidoscope, 9-foot-long kaleidoscope that you looked into. And when I saw the containers the year before, I thought, that's a kaleidoscope waiting to be made. Mm-hmm. So in that case, it was the location.
The space that sort of dictated it.
Exactly.
Patrick, tell me about some of the artists that they're involved in this.
Yeah, well, to your point about, you know, the conceptual stage of this, you know, when we receive these applications, you do kind of have to decode them or distill them, if you will, because they are responding to an environment that's not a walled gallery or whatnot. And a lot of times the artist will take pictures of the park and kind of superimpose their idea. But you sort of have to take on good faith the spirit of the concept, because once they get out there and actually
things
can change. And so, you know, we have there are lots of different takes on the art. We have one that's going to be somewhat of kind of like a simple obstacle, like balance beam, but then with a lot of sound kind of thrown at your way. That's a Luke Crawley and Quincy Owens are putting that piece together.
Cool.
So there's some sound involved with that. We have a number of artists dealing with wayfinding. Hmm. One artist refers to stitching. That's Andrea Swartz from Muncie. And they are actually going to be just doing simple things that kind of guide you in a way that you wouldn't necessarily think of through a park. We have Pamela Deaton from Liberty, Indiana. She kind of created this paper clay substance, which is something that may also deteriorate if we get rain like we're supposed to, you know, these next few days anyway. But the and she's going to have pieces kind of draped in trees and things. And so you have people just responding to the environment in lots of different ways. And what's exciting from the committee standpoint is to see to see what you get.
Yeah.
Because you make your best effort. The artists certainly want to put their best effort forward. But yeah, a variation of sound. And one artist is actually taking up sod. So digging up parts of the artist and or part of the arts park itself and kind of lifting up the park as its own art. And,
okay.
You know, so it's I don't want to speak too specifically or give anything too much away.
Sure.
I will say that those wonderful punching bags that you had as a kid, those inflatable punching bags with the little bit of dirt weight in the bottom, there's going to be several, I think several dozen of those are involved in one of the installations. So it's just kind of a little bit of everything.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, tell me about the relationship between the Arts Center and Primary Colors, because they are separate organizations. You're kind of wearing two hats, right?
I am wearing two hats. I've served both on the board of Primary Colors and then I'm the president of the Indianapolis Arts Center. But when the shipping containers were kind of on the line in terms of kind of run their course, I was able to get permission to host this event at the Indianapolis Arts Center. So this is a Primary Colors event. Primary Colors does all the fundraising. I'd like to thank the DeHaan Family Foundation and the Indy Arts Commission, as well as lots of other sponsors and people that helped us out. But it is a Primary Colors event. The Arts Center hosts it. We provide some support. Kyle Harrington, the Director of Exhibitions, is on the selection committee. Megan Reinhart with events. But you know, it's really Primary Colors that's putting this together. It just happens that the Indianapolis Arts Center has a gorgeous arts park right there,
right,
a great location. So it's a win-win for both of us. I love it from the Arts Center that we get a lot of people through and are able to enjoy these. We have a lot of weddings in the summer, and it makes an interesting backdrop to some of those to have some of these sculptures going on. But it's what we're about. But really, you know,
and Brian, there's a lot of great permanent work or semi-permanent work that's already in the arts park.
There is, and I think that, you know, in terms of talking to the staff at the Arts Center, that we'd love to see this kind of thing grow and continue to evolve. And I know that in working with Brian Short at Primary Colors, you know, he's just really, the relationship just gets stronger and stronger. And of course, it helps that I'm wearing both hats. But I think that even as I fulfill my board term at Primary Colors, that I hope to see this relationship continue to grow. And to that point, speaking from the Arts Center, you know, we had local artist Barb Zeck had a labyrinth in our arts park because she needed a home for it. And we just love the idea of the park being a living laboratory and an outdoor classroom space. So if you have ideas, give me a call.
Very cool. Okay. We'll definitely let people know that. Andy, it sounded like you wanted to jump in there with one more thing.
No, I just would say that the arts park, like he's saying, is a gorgeous place to do it. And I'm just real honored to be chosen, because when you're juried as an artist, juried into a show, you're putting yourself out on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you're opening yourself up for criticism and for critique. And so it means a lot to be accepted into one. So it's a lot of – I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of good artists involved with this one.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. And let's hope the weather is good when it needs to be.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. It is a rain and shine opening.
Yep.
Rain or shine on the 26th. But I think it looks like we're going to get all the rain out of our system or about done with it now. So –
We hope.
But anyway, it'll be great, and it's up for 2 weeks. It's up through July 11th, so it will be up over the 4th of July holiday. So if you have extra family in town over that holiday and want to take them to the park, we're open 7 days a week, and we're always free.
Great. Excellent. Andy, Patrick, thank you so much for coming in Art of the Matter. Always a pleasure, and sounds like you're going to have great Installation Nation this year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Travis DiNicola with Patrick Flaherty, President and Executive Director of the Indianapolis Art Center, and artist Andy Ball. The opening reception for Installation Nation will be Friday, June 26th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and the exhibit will run through July 11th, and the event is free. Visit primarycolors.org for more information, and they spell colors the British way, so primary, C-O-L-O-U-R-S.org, primarycolors.org. Learn more. listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Erica Gibson and Deshaun Perry Smitherman grew up in quite different sorts of families, but they both realized that strong female role models are crucial for the happiness and success of young women. Sharon Gamble invited Erica and Deshaun to tell us about the organization they co-founded and co-lead, A Girl's Gift.
So, Erica and Deshaun, I want to understand how you came to know each other in the first place.
I worked at Channel 13 mm-hmm. as a producer, and one day I had this delightful woman to come to be a guest on my show, and we just kind of started talking, and immediately we clicked. And she asked me, hey, my organization needs somebody to do a workshop tomorrow. Are you available?
Wow.
We had had someone back out, and after I met Deshaun, I felt like maybe that was the reason this person backed out, because
the universe put you together.
Absolutely. Yes. And Deshaun said, of course, and put it together. And from there, we've been doing all types of things together.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful when you meet somebody under circumstances like that, that you never expected to meet. And
that was
changes,
like 7 years ago.
Changes the course of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So where did the idea of A Girl's Gift come from?
Well, I grew up in a family of a lot of girls,
seven sisters?
Yes. Seven sisters,
no
one
brothers?
Brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your poor brother.
He was the oldest. And I also have three girls of my own. Mm-hmm. And what became very clear to me from early in my life is that girls face a lot of challenges. And you really have to help your girls to be strong and to grow up to be confident, so that they can overcome those challenges. And as soon as I had an opportunity to just spend some time working and researching on how we could help girls, A Girl's Gift is what we came up with. And I had done the research and pretty much had the program mapped out, but I just needed someone who had the same work ethic as I have. And that's where Deshaun came in. It was clear to me very quickly with two or three projects that, wow, here's someone who works like I work. And she's great at things that I'm not great at, and vice versa.
Yeah, so, we always talk about that, too.
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful relationship. So we were very clear early on that we could do great things together. And so I came and pitched the idea to her, and she agreed. And we started meeting every Friday at Starbucks.
For lunch.
Caffeine-fueled
ideas. For giving me lunch.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And put together, we worked on the nonprofit documents mm-hmm. for over the course of a few months, filed it. It was approved right away, and we hit the ground running. Mm-hmm.
So we want to go back to all of those sisters for a minute. Where are you in birth order? Are you in the middle or towards the end? Or
I'm next to last.
So you got to see some of your big sisters going through some challenges, and my guess is that some of those experiences and some of those observations led to the five program areas. Can you tell us a story about something you saw a sister doing? And
oh, I can just remember so many things. I can remember, you know, growing up in inner city Chicago and just the challenges of walking to the bus stop, mm-hmm. you know, in a poor neighborhood, of making it to school. I had a sister who went to a public school in Chicago, and I can remember my mom saying, stay at the door and wait for me, because there was some gang violence at the school. Do not walk home. Do not take the bus, because that week was really heavy with violence. And my sister decided she was, you know, old enough and strong enough that she could walk with this group, and she was shot in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that's one example. Another example is I had a sister who was a mom at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just so many opportunities where I think if me and my sisters, if we could have had more mentors, my parents did a wonderful job with us. But every step that you can, you need another woman there that can say the same thing that you're saying in a different way. Mm-hmm. Even with my own kids, there are sometimes when I can't quite reach them, and Deshaun can make a call and say, hey, Noah, how you doing? And all of a sudden, that lighthearted conversation, she'll come back and say, well, Miss Deshaun said, I should think about this. And I'm like, oh, really?
I just said that to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
do you remember thinking when you were a girl, before you were an adult, Do you remember noticing that boys had a different time of things?
Absolutely. I think that girls are typically taught to be nice. And sometimes that nice, they perceive it as being weak or timid. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be very careful with how we communicate that message. It's okay to be respectful. It's okay to be polite. But you have to be strong enough to get what you need and to achieve your goals. So I think that sometimes the messages are really mixed for girls. And what we do at A Girl's Gift is we are really clear about that. You set goals, you come up with a plan to achieve those goals, and we help them do that.
Mm-hmm. Deshong, I know that you've had a lot of aha moments, especially through A Girl's Gift, about what it's like to be a woman. Do you remember when you were a girl, when you were little, thinking this isn't fair, or thinking sometimes I just wish I had the equipment and were a man because it'd be easier, you know?
I don't remember thinking that I wanted to be a guy, but I do remember, you know, some really difficult times in my life as well. I was a mom at a very, very young age, very young. And I called myself a statistical fluke because that wasn't supposed to happen to me. I was kind of this nerdy girl, you know, who did everything that she was supposed to, except she met a boy. And when I met this guy, you know, things just kind of like changed in my life. And I changed in a way who I was supposed to be.
Sure.
And so I wish that we had more programs like A Girl's Gift back when I was growing up. I think that it would have been very helpful to have mentors and to also be around other positive women besides my mom and my dad, because I grew up in a great family as well. But, you know, just someone else who I could throw things off of, talk to about decisions that I wanted to make, but also someone who could have possibly have led me in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I do remember that those kinds of things happening to me when I was a girl. And so these are the kinds of things that we work with our girls. We help them to build their self-esteem. We teach them business planning. We introduce them to wonderful women throughout Central Indiana. And so I didn't get it when I was a child, but we want to make sure that girls in our program get it.
You're paying
in the week that they're with us.
Paying it forward.
Absolutely.
So for people who don't know, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry. I think it's just very important for parents to own the fact that we're not perfect and that we need help. And sometimes having that village there means the world. No matter how much we communicate things to our kids, they're just not going to get it all from us. And if you can have a few people here and there and along the way to help you with your children, I just think they're in such a better place.
It feels like sometimes your parents' voice is just a little too familiar to you. You start tuning it out.
And it starts to get a bit annoying, you know?
Gee, I hope your children are listening to this conversation.
Mine's in Belgium.
So for people who aren't familiar with the program, tell us about, I want you to, one or the other of you, to tick off the five gifts, the five sort of core elements of the program, I'll do it. Entrepreneurship, education, mentorship, community service, and goal setting. Mm-hmm. Is that still?
Yeah.
And so how does that work through the process?
So one of the things that we do in A Girl's Gift is we teach every single girl who comes through our program how to write a successful business plan in 1 week. So she learns 8 steps to achieving a business plan. So throughout that process, she's working on her goals in terms of what she wants to do with her future. Another thing that we do is each girl completes what we call a dream board exercise. And in that exercise, she thinks about where she is now, where she wants to be, and what those steps are in order to get there. So those are the two that has to do with goal setting.
And community service. Community service, the girls, we leave that up to them. We allow them to do the research, determine where there is a need, where they can help, where they can be of most help, and they put together a service project and they run with it, and we're there for the ride. It's really nice to see what they come up with, and they feel great about helping others. A lot of times when they start, they're like, well, we're just kids. What can we really do? Mm-hmm. But they realize that there are people out there that they have gifts that they can share.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that unfold.
So speaking of the We're Just Kids, how did you select this age group, which is roughly middle school age, right?
Impressionable. 10 to 14 is just when they start to, they're not quite deep in those teenage years where they've figured everything out and they know everything and they don't need you. They come to you with questions. They ask you things that, you know, they're uncomfortable asking their parents. It's just a great age to get in and talk with them and communicate with them and see where their heads are and what they need and how we can help. So we found that 10 to 14 is just right. And any younger, to be quite honest, is difficult for the business plan because they have to understand it. They have to be at a certain level with math. They have to understand the process and how to get through those 8 steps. So 10 to 14 is just the right time where they can really start a business and work that business.
Erica, tell me about a favorite moment through A Girl's Gift, a favorite moment where you saw a girl just get it, a light bulb went on or something changed.
I want to tell you 2 moments. I'll let DeShong tell one and I can tell one if that's
okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we started an opportunity where one girl in our program could travel beyond Indiana. So the idea was that girl who best exemplifies what A Girl's Gift stands for gets to travel to Europe. So we started it last year. The first girl came out last month and spent a week with my family.
Wow.
And she got to go to London. We went to various places in Belgium, and then we ended in Paris. And to have her say to me, I never thought I would see anything other than what I see every day. Mm. And to all of a sudden see that she's now thinking, I could study here. You know, I told her I studied in Barcelona when I was in college. That's where I learned Spanish. And the world is just so big. There's so much opportunity for you. You just have to know about it. So that was a favorite moment for me, just seeing literally like her eyes open to so many things, even if they were small things. She was at my house and she goes, you know, the one thing that's really different is that the lights are outside. And we couldn't understand what she meant. And so I was here last night, and I go into a restroom, and there's no light switch on the outside of the door.
Oh, I see.
It's in the inside of the room. And so it was a good opportunity for us to have a conversation about, it's not that it's wrong in Belgium.
It's just different.
It's different. And, you know, if you can learn early, especially as an American, not to judge, and to start to think that, you know what, that just might be a better way.
Sure.
You know, before you walk in the door, you can actually see what's in there with the light on the outside.
And,
you know,
and so, at some level, maybe not even a level she could articulate, she's
right.
Thinking, what else do I have set ideas
about? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So there were a lot of moments like that over the course of the week. And another thing she said is, I realized that I have to have another language. Even if I'm not fluent at it, I have to be able to communicate. Because she said, if you weren't here, I couldn't ask for my food. I couldn't, you know, call a taxi. I couldn't do all of these things. So
it
was just a great week for me and my family.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that we can expose girls like this girl mm-hmm. to that. And we would love to be able to do it for even more girls in the future.
Sure. A favorite moment?
Yeah, I get so excited about our girls and their business plans. You have this girl who come in on Sunday during orientation, and at first they're thinking, why is my mama putting me in a business plan camp? You know, anything that says business plans may speak boredom to them.
Sure. Yes.
But then they become a member of the A Girl's Gift community. They get involved. They start learning their steps. They start researching their businesses, and they get so very excited. And we've had so many girls who've done really well with their businesses and kept their businesses going. One girl in particular, her name is Micah. She started making these little cute rubber band bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the year, so it's been a year now, each time she sees me, she has added to what she's able to do with her bracelets. And they are absolutely beautiful bracelets. So they started as rubber bands, and so now she's using different materials. So she's really excited. And this year, she's already talked about what she wants to do for her business. She wants to do something called Brownies and Bracelets, which is a business kind of like, you know, what
like
you see with
canvas.
Wine and
oh,
canvas,
yeah.
You know, so that's an example. And then also KJ, we have a young lady named KJ who got the permission from her school to open up an after school kind of like a tutoring place.
Peer mentoring.
Yes. For high school students. And so during her freshman year, she kept her peer mentoring project going, and you know, it's wonderful to see her excitement. She's going to be doing it next year, and to see that the schools also embrace what we do in A Girl's Gift, and they allow our girls to bring it into the schools.
Sharon Gamble with Erica Gibson and Deshong Perry Smitherman. Erica is an attorney, and Deshong is a media relations professional. Together, they founded and lead A Girl's Gift. This program, aimed at 5th through 8th graders, will put on its annual Business Institute July 19th through the 26th. You can learn lots more about the program and apply for the Business Institute by June 30th if you visit agirlsgift.wix.com. That's agirlsgift.wix.com.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
What are you going to do with all the money you saved this weekend?
The money I saved? You mean because there aren't like 1,800 events going on
well,
downtown?
Well, that's part of it, but also it's the longest day of the year, so we won't have to turn lights on until later. So we're going to save some
There we go. How are you going to spend the longest day of the
year?
That's a good question.
I think we have some ideas on that calendar we call.
What do we do?
What do you got?
Well, you know what? Lots of stuff going on at the Jazz Kitchen right now, which is really cool. I mean, they've got a whole bunch of national artists coming in. They're going to be performing Jeff Lorber Fusion, Victor Wooten. They're also starting to have ticket sales now for Jazz Fest, which is coming up, of course, in September. Those tickets just went on sale. Take Six and Diane Reeves and Jonathan Butler all coming. But this weekend, Marcus Miller is coming to Jazz Kitchen on the 19th and the 20th. He's a 2-time Grammy winner, and he's doing sort of a dizzying, if you can imagine, like as in Dizzy Gillespie. Like,
I don't know what type
of styles, and a great thing to do for Father's Day. He's really cool. Multi-instrumentalist, keyboardist, clarinet, bass clarinet, bassist. Just a really fun performer, and he's going to be there Friday and Saturday, 2 shows both nights at the Jazz Kitchen. A great thing to take your dad to for Father's Day.
There we go.
Or how to spend the longest day of the year.
There we go. Well, if your dad likes picnics, rustle one up and go to the Indianapolis Museum of Art this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. It's actually 100 acres that you're going to. And it is a summer solstice picnic. Bring your own food, drinks, and blankets, and enjoy a special outdoor concert and an afternoon full of games, as well as an art swap. You're going to that, aren't you?
I am going to go to the art swap. Yeah.
What are you swapping?
I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to figure that out.
All right, looking
through some stuff in the basement and seeing what might be kind of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of holidays, Father's Day, longest day of the year, things like that, 4th of July is coming up, and it's not too early to start making some plans. Yes, for those firework watching picnics. And Indie Fringe is having their 4th annual 4th of July firework party, the 4th, where you can hang out instead of lugging your lawn chair around. You can hang out at the Indie Fringe Theater, and they're going to have food, including fried chicken and biscuits, buffet, and all types of fun stuff, and then you can watch the fireworks from the Indie Fringe, and there may just be some flat 12 beer there as well, but you do need to reserve your spot now at indiefringe.org.
You know, you and thousands of your friends can also watch the fireworks on July 4th from the concert venue at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Who's performing there? The opening act is Rascal Flatts.
Yeah,
but
that other group. I've heard of them before.
Yeah, they were part of that whole British invasion thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
How fun would that be?
That, well,
I'll let you know.
Are you
going to
be there?
Going, yes.
Are you? Oh, cool. Good for you.
Always wanted to see them in concert.
Well,
finally got my chance.
That's going to be pretty awesome. Hey, Woodruff Place, maybe you were out there just recently for the flea market and you saw all those gorgeous homes and you thought, boy, I'd like to see what some of them look like. Well, they're having their home and garden tour coming up on June 27th and 28th. If you search on Eventbrite, you can get the information for the tickets for the homes. The tour is from noon to 5 both days. That's Saturday and Sunday. And there are some gorgeous homes and gardens as part of that tour.
If you are a craft beer, microbrewed beverage drinker, man, are you living in Indianapolis at the right time. I'm going to tell you about two long, long-running microbrew festivals. The first is this Saturday. It's Brewhaha. It's its 20th anniversary. You can enjoy unlimited beer samples from more than 50 of the best local and national craft breweries. Also live music and local food at an outdoor block party next to the Phoenix Theater. You can find out more at phoenixtheater.org. But do it soon. Especially if you're listening Thursday night, get online and grab your tickets before they sell out. Also, whether or not you get into Brewhaha, put on your calendar July 18th at Historic Military Park, Indiana Microbrewers Festival, another long, long-running microbrew event. So there you go. Drink up.
Well, you will hear the interview with Shannon Forsell in just a moment talking about the cabaret. But if you'd like to find out where she and her husband, David, live, they are on the Watson Park Historic District Landmark Look-In Tour, which is coming up on June 23rd, where their house is going to be highlighted. It's a Tudor Revival-style house on a little quiet street tucked away in Watson Park Historic District, and it's part of the free Landmark Look on Tuesday, June 23rd. It's a home from 1927. The house is going to be open from 5:30 to 7:30, and it is just going to be delightful to check this out. If you'd like some more information on that, then you can get it at Indiana Landmarks.
There you go. And if you speak nicely to her, she might sing for you that night.
You never know.
That's right.
Tell her you heard it here on Heart of the Matter.
There you go. Well, you know what? We have stacks and stacks more things to tell you about, but I think we're out of time, aren't we? Don't forget, you can learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indie Arts Guide. And you can learn more next week on our calendar week haul.
What do we do?
The days will be getting shorter, though.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
The actor and singer, and slightly creepy, Alan Cumming, headlines the Cabaret's 2015 summer-fall season with his one-man show, Alan Cumming Sings Sappy Songs. Travis DiNicola found out about this show, as well as everything the Cabaret at the Columbia Club has planned for the next few months, from director Shannon Forsell.
Shannon, welcome back. Always great to see you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, you have some big news, I guess. I mean, I mean, looking at the upcoming schedule for what the Cabaret is doing, I know tickets have just gone on sale for the next part of the season. Your season, it's kind of different. It's like sort of end of summer into the fall.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky because we don't really have a theater season in the same way that most theaters have a season because we run all year long. So we just do the first 6 months and then the second 6 months. So we are now getting ready to go into our summer-fall season.
Summer-fall season. Mm-hmm. And you've got some very cool stuff lined up at the Cabaret.
We do.
Before we jump into that, which I can't wait to talk about, give me the quick background for people who are like, well, what's the Cabaret and at the Columbia Club? And you guys, you've been home at the Columbia Club now for what, 4 years?
We are in our sixth year right now.
Six, okay.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, time has really flown. Now, we've only been at the Columbia Club 5 years, so
6 year
total, but 5 years. And so what a lot of people don't know if they haven't been to the Cabaret yet, because even though we've been around a while, because we're still considered new to a lot of people, there are still a lot of people that don't know what's the Cabaret. And so we are, and the most confusing thing is that we're located in the Columbia Club, but we're not part of the Columbia Club.
You do not have to be a member to go.
Yes, you do not have to be a member, but you get to go inside the Golden Gates and see the Columbia Club where our shows are. So the Columbia Club has just been gracious, a gracious partner, and we house our shows on the third floor in the Crystal Terrace, which is just this fantastic, beautiful room that overlooks Monument Circle. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to kind of create a room that is similar to the great cabaret rooms in America, more New York style cabaret.
Yeah.
And so the great rooms like Cafe Carlyle and what used to be the Oak Room and at the Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
And
where you dress up, you feel a little swanky,
yeah.
You're going to a classy place, you have some cocktails, and
yeah.
You hear a great performance that's very
yeah.
intimate. I mean,
it's
that's
very intimate.
A big part of what cabaret is,
and
of course.
I think that's what people really, really like. To see a Broadway star, you know, within 10 feet of you mm-hmm. performing is a whole different ballgame than seeing them in row double Z,
yeah.
you know, in a big on a big stage. And to be able to have a martini while you're doing that really adds to
it's
the
lovely.
Enjoyment. Yeah, and I don't want people to think that it's so dressy that we want it to be accessible too.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's a beautiful, beautiful night out, it's an accessible, fun evening as well. It's not a stuffy evening out.
The guys can wear a sport coat and tie?
Yeah, they don't have to wear a tie. You
okay.
can wear jeans and a sport coat
yeah.
or jeans and a shirt.
Okay.
So some people like to dress up and some people are more business casual type
yeah.
folks. But we want everyone to feel welcome when they come to the cabaret. So whatever you're needing to do that evening,
mm-hmm.
we'd love to have you.
Good. So let's talk about who's coming to the cabaret. In your next
yes.
season. Yes.
So our big headliner this year, and the one that we really like to have one big headliner that make people say, "How did they do that?"
Mm-hmm.
And so we think our big headliner this year is Alan Cumming,
mm-hmm.
who a lot of folks will have just seen as co-host of the Tony Awards
right,
with Kristen
right.
Chenoweth. Yeah, and he's really for us, he's an icon of cabaret because his Tony Award is for the musical
Cabaret.
On Broadway,
mm-hmm.
obviously as the MC. And he is a big movie star, and he's a big star, Eli Gold, on The Good Wife, and I've watched him for a lot of years.
Yeah,
and
he's
so
a
amazing.
Scottish actor.
Yes.
Yeah, tons of movies that he's been in, often sort of plays like kind of a creepy villain.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that he was in Cabaret on Broadway that I realized he was also a performer in that aspect as well.
Right, and he's yeah. done Threepenny Opera on Broadway. Then he did Macbeth, One mm-hmm. Man Macbeth on Broadway, not this past year, but the year before. And so he is just mega talented, and we're just really thrilled that he could put it in his schedule to get over. And he loves doing small shows, too.
That's so cool.
And because he doesn't get to be Alan Cumming,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he loves to be Alan Cumming, too. And so his show's called Alan Cumming Sings Sappy Songs.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be fooled, because it is a somewhat bawdy show, I hear. So,
yeah. So what is he? Now, does he play the piano? Is he just singing?
He
has a pianist with him?
He has a musical director with him.
Okay.
And his musical director also is the same musical director for a performer we had, Meow Meow, who was
oh, yeah.
very popular.
Great.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's an Australian performer. And then he also has a cellist who will also
okay.
be coming with him. And then so he just is free to perform and talk to the audience and have some comedy and
yeah.
do some singing.
What are some of the songs, you know, that
I don't
okay.
yet, because he just opened the show at Cafe Carlyle
mm.
right before the Tonys.
Okay.
So, and we don't know if he'll change it up a little bit when he
mix it up and
gets out here. But his reviews were really great for the Cafe Carlyle so far.
Well, he's also one of those actors that if people don't quite recognize the name, if
right.
you look him up and you see a picture of him, you'll be like,
right.
oh yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of the case with a lot of people that perform at the cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, we have videos of all the performers on our website. So if you go and you look at all of our shows at thecabaret.org, then you
thecabaret.org.
can see thecabaret.org.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check it out and see, you know, it'll tell the performer's bio and it'll have some pictures and it's got a video. So you can really get to see, hey, is this the type of performer that I want to see? Because
yeah.
there are so many different styles of performers that come to the cabaret. And most of the time you go, oh, that's who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect. So Alan Cumming in September, which is going to be just awesome. But you've got a lot of other great performers.
We really do. Now, I have bad news, and that is that we're opening with Paris Combo on July 15th, but it's already sold out.
Wow. Okay.
And so that's what I would say to a lot of folks.
Get your
we
tickets
have a really
now.
Good problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that Our shows are nearly three-fourths sold out, all of them, for the rest of the year.
Right, because tickets just went on sale about a week ago.
They just went on sale. And so if folks want to come, get your tickets as soon as you can so we can make sure to get you in. And we're doing our best to try to add shows when we can.
Sure.
It's not always possible. But so folks that want to see it, check out the cabaret and get your tickets as soon as you can.
Okay, so who else you got?
So then on July 24th and 25th, we have this fantastic performer, Darian Ford, who's also a Broadway star, but he is doing a show, The Music of Sam Cooke. So the early summer is sort of a little bit of a rock and roll kind of thing, inadvertently. He's doing The Music of Sam Cooke, and we're also doing some wonderful outreach programming with that show. In the daytime, he's going to be doing performances and classes in conjunction with Madam Walker Theater and some of their education programs. So we're really looking forward to that. That's a new program that we're doing with them. But he is, he's been at the cabaret before, and it was so well received that people wanted to see that show again. So the great music of the great Sam Cooke. And then right after that in July is the final performances of Karen Irwin doing her Janis Joplin show,
which,
A Piece of Her Heart.
You haven't seen, you have to.
Yeah, and you know, we might not have brought it back, but it sells out every single time we do. And she's getting ready to leave, so this is sort of our send-off to her, because she's going to be moving to New York City, and she's actually started to take this show national. And we're really excited because we've been working with her to kind of help her be able
to
do
launch
that.
This, yeah.
So really fun to have an Indianapolis performer be able to become a national cabaret artist on the national scene.
And she's just a delight.
Yeah. That show is a powerhouse show. And folks that aren't even fans of Janis Joplin were knocked out by her. And then we have in August, we have a series also called the Jazz at the Cabaret series, sponsored by Chris Morris and Morris Machine Company, along with James Gibson. We do a whole series of jazz, and it's with jazz artists that do vocals and are really great interpreters of song, too. And one of those is Carol Welsman, who's going to be coming. She's Canadian, and she's been compared a lot to Diana Krall. But she takes also, she has a unique take on jazz. She takes a lot of pop songs and makes them sound like a jazz
song.
She's super sexy, super great, and she's in August. And then in the end of August, it's back to Broadway with another guy that folks probably may not know his name, but if they see him, they'll say, oh, my gosh.
I know that guy.
Norm Lewis is who it is, and he is a major Broadway star. He starred with Audra McDonald in Porgy and Bess. He was the first African-American Phantom in Phantom of the Opera just recently. He was the best Javert ever and made me cry when Russell Crowe was playing Javert. He's been in Sideshow, Chicago, numerous Broadway shows. Super, super fantastic. Just was in the Lincoln Center, just presented his show. And so he's someone that we're also really, really excited about in August.
Nice.
Coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to keep going?
Keep going. Keep going. Yeah,
and then, of course, it's Alan Cumming, who's in September. We're very, very excited
about
him.
Four shows.
We have four shows with him because we know folks really want to see him. They, I believe, are all sold out at this point. But we're taking waiting lists to see if there are ways we can beg him to do more shows or not. So don't be afraid to put your name on the list, because oftentimes people will get in, or that will let us know that we can add a performance with them.
Yeah.
And then in October, the last 5 years is sort of a cult Jason Robert Brown show. Folks will know it because it was just recently a movie as well. But the stars in the revival of the last 5 years and who sang the show with Jason Robert Brown are coming and doing a cabaret version of that show. So that's a great show
for
folks that like really contemporary type Broadway.
Yeah.
And then another jazz show in the end of October with really super fantastic Kat Edmondson, who I would say is a rising star, but she's really now become a jazz star. She's from Austin, but her brand new release. She has four albums, but her new release was released by Sony Records, and she's got one of the most unique sounds I've ever heard. She's kind of retro sounding, a little bit like a Madeleine Perrault, but very, very, and she's young, and she's really great. And then in November is powerhouse Broadway star Maren Mazie, who was in numerous Broadway shows. She's a major Broadway diva. And she's Tony nominated for early on when she was in Ragtime and Passion. And then recently she's been in Spamalot and mm-hmm. Bullets Over Broadway and Into the Woods. She has like 15 Broadway shows under her belt. So she's going to be a big Broadway diva. And then we end with Laura Osnes for our fundraiser, who was Cinderella on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And folks may know her because there was a TV show called Grease is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, the show was kind of like American Idol.
And they auditioned to get
the role to be on Grease. And that's how she got her start. But she's been in numerous Broadway shows since then and is a major powerhouse Broadway star.
You know, listening to the season, it's an interesting mix of sort of back and forth, a bit of jazz Broadway, jazz Broadway, mm-hmm. jazz Broadway. And, mm-hmm. and in a lot of ways, that's kind of what cabaret is, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's because a lot of jazz sometimes rides a fine line because they're both done in intimate spaces mm-hmm. a lot. And so those folks are really used to, you know, intimate settings. And the Broadway folks do a lot of cabaret because it's all about the acting mm-hmm. and all about storytelling. And so they're really excellent at it. And then, of course, we try to throw in some international folks that do international style, too, yeah. with folks like Paris Combo. So there's so many styles of cabaret. That's mm-hmm. what's kind of tricky. Mm-hmm. Cabaret is not one genre of music, but more the presentation of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but our folks love the Broadway and the jazz folks. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great season. I'm looking forward to it. Continue to always be impressed by the quality of the talent that you bring the cabaret Shan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks so much for coming in to Art of the Matter today. Always great to see you.
Great. I hope to see you all at the cabaret.
Travis DiNicola with the cabaret at the Columbia Club's director, Shannon Forsell. Alan Cumming will be performing at the cabaret on September 12th and 13th, and tickets to the cabaret's 2015 summer-fall season are on sale now and can be purchased online at thecabaret.org, thecabaret.org, or by calling the cabaret box office at 317-275-1169. Again, 317-275-1169. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll find out about some changes coming for the Indianapolis Library Foundation.
Wait, you're not going to check them out?
Oh, nice.
Sorry. I'll find out about a Central Indiana celebration of Bastille Day.
And I'll take a look at this year's early music festival. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.